Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to episode 215 of Heart and Soul for Women of Faith, where we talk boldly about faith, hope, purpose, prosperity, and how we're making a meaningful difference in the world as business owners, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We share our stories and strategies to encourage you in your journey and to help one another achieve success. One of my all-time favorite definitions of success is this one by the great Christian evangelist, Dr. Miles Monroe. Success is obedience to purpose. Amen. Amen. I'm Jory Fisher, a featured host on Blog Talk Radio with my guest, Pastor Darlene Thorne, who will speak with us today, July 27th, 2020, about walking in our truth. We are a designer's original. Hello, Darlene. Thank you for joining us on Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm excited. I've been looking forward to interviewing you, and here we are. Today's the day. I get to know you a little bit better, so yay!
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 Very excited.
Aw, you're great. All right. Well, before I give our listeners a few instructions and invitations, what's the primary message that you're going to be sharing with us today?
Well, we're going to talk today, and first of all, Jory, thank you so much for having me on your show. I count it a privilege to be a part of Heart and Soul.
Yay!
Yes, and today we're going to talk about thinking outside of the box, learning some new things about yourself, or being reminded about some things you may have forgotten. So we're going to talk about how to effectively change your mindset and strengthening your RAS.
Whoa, we got to hear about what that is. Everybody has to stay on just to hear what that means.
That's right.
Good, Darlene. All right, folks, so here's some instructions and invitations. Heart and Soul for Women of Faith airs on Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can listen to any of my archived on-demand episodes at blogtalkradio.com/JoryFisher and on my website, joryfisher.com. That's JoryFisher, joryfisher.com. Please follow my live interactive podcast by clicking on the little follow button on my Blog Talk Radio show page and creating a free Blog Talk Radio account. I also invite you to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to comment or ask us a question, please call 515-605-9750. That number again is 515-605-9750. You'll be placed in a call queue and will be able to listen to the show while you wait. So a quick promo about who I am and what I do. I'm a former public interest attorney and law professor who's been coaching and training lawyers and entrepreneurs since 2004. I love helping vibrant women of faith build thriving businesses and lead joyful, purpose-guided lives. Please visit my website, joryfisher.com, to enjoy hundreds of free resources, including blog posts, videos, ebooks, and my Discover Your Purpose starter course. I also invite you to take a quick assessment to get a free customized report all about you. Knowing your bank code, as we call it, is the first step toward dramatically improving your relationships, and for our business owners out there, increasing your sales up to 300%. Go to crackmycode.com/report. That's crackmycode.com/report to rank your values, discover your bank code, and get your free personality profile. And now at last, it's my pleasure to formally introduce Pastor Darlene Thorne. Darlene has devoted her life to teaching and influencing women how to practice positive self-care of body, soul, and spirit. As CEO of A Heart After the Father, LLC, Darlene serves as your sage Christian coach slash mentor. Her company is designed to reach those who struggle with self-esteem and identity issues, helping them uncover their hidden treasures to help those to whom they've been called. Darlene has traveled extensively as an international speaker, delivering motivational and life-impacting messages at conferences and facilitating workshops and symposiums. Featured on television, radio, and live sessions, with a focus on total self-care and walking in total freedom and authenticity, she delivers a message of change from the inside out. Her messages focus on mindset change that moves women into action. As a published author, Darlene has written 3 books, A Heart After the Father, The Goliath Within, and Refresh, Refill, Renew. She's a co-author of When Dark Chocolate is Bittersweet, Controversy Within a Culture, and has participated in an anthology, Shine Hidden No More. Each book is part of Darlene's journey in leading others to deepen their relationship with God. Darlene hosts a yearly conference, Refresh, Refill, Renew, that encourages attendees to spend uninterrupted time with the Lord, allowing Him to give fresh revelation for the next assignment. Her desire is for this to become a movement of intentional getting away in Abba's presence. She and her husband, Kevin Thorne, serve as pastors at Renewal Community Church in Clayton, North Carolina. They have 2 world-changer adult children, Kevin second, Kevin the two, Kevin the Kevin Jr., Kevin the second.
Yes.
I'll go with that. And Kennedy Elaine. Great names. A lot of K's in there. A lot of K's in there. Well, great. Well, tell us one thing about you that was not in your bio. It could be something fun. It could be something silly. It could be something serious that I overlooked. What's one thing?
It's something funny that just popped up in my head.
Good. Perfect.
I went to a banquet. It was what was it called? Oh, it was the Ronald McDonald Children's Charities event. And this was an event that goes on every year and put on by McDonald's and the Ronald McDonald House. And I got the wonderful privilege to take a picture with the late Barbara Bush. And I think she had mercy on me. She had mercy on me because I was pregnant. Because I don't think she wanted to take the picture.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my. You know, I don't think I ever would have put Ronald McDonald and Barbara Bush together, much less Ronald McDonald, Barbara Bush, and Darlene Thorne. So you got me on that one. That's awesome.
Yes.
So how old were you? How were you? So you were was this your first pregnancy or?
Yes.
You know, were
this
you?
This was when I was pregnant with our first child, with our oldest, Kevin. And it was 25 years ago. 25 years
ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. It was so funny because I said, "Do you mind if I take a picture with you?" And she looked, and I think she thought about it for a moment. And then she said, "Okay."
So was she wearing pearls? That's the big question.
Absolutely, she was wearing pearls.
That's
Absolutely.
What I wear when I go to McDonald's. All right. Well, Lady Darlene, let's talk about something. Let's because you are a sage wisdom woman. So let's go back to your earlier self. I mean, pick an age, any age, maybe 7. What would you say to young child Darlene?
I would tell her to love the skin that she is in. I would tell her to love herself from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet, and to appreciate every little quirky thing about her. Because when she gets older, it's going to be necessary.
Yeah,
that's what I would tell her.
Because she
at the time, I think she would appreciate knowing that she is necessary, she's needed, and she's important.
Mm.
She would need to know that. One of the things that I did with a group of young girls that I was speaking to, I told them to write their name and put it down the page. And when they put it down, put each letter down the page, I wanted them to create their own DNA, their distinguishing name acronym.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted them to describe who they were. And I told them what my name meant. And my name means daring, articulate, radiant, loving, excited about life, necessary, and enough.
Well, I'm loving that, except I'm jealous because you have a longer name than I do. So those of us with short names are Jim. Maybe we get to include our middle name.
Yes, include your middle name.
Oh, yes. That is beautiful. Well, what if you don't mind sharing, what would be with something quirky about young Darlene that she hopefully would love throughout her lifetime?
Oh, the quirky thing about her is that she really liked reading and reciting poetry. And she was very expressive. So when she would recite a piece of poetry or anything, the inflections that you would hear, you know, that an adult would do to, you know, bring people in. Mm-hmm. That's what she did when she was younger. And people really were intrigued by this young girl who was very articulate at a young age and really enjoyed bringing life to something that could otherwise be considered drab. But words have power.
Wow.
And they tell stories and they draw you in and they cause you to think and to use your imagination. And she really helped people to use their imaginations, the way she described things and use the inflection to make people really use their heads, think, imagine, dream, and believe.
That's exciting. Well, what I'm thinking is that she may have been made fun of for that, and yet now it's a superpower.
That is absolutely correct. Absolutely.
Isn't that something?
Yes, it is. Those things that we as younger people may have avoided and did not appreciate or like about ourselves.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, that was what's necessary to help us as we get older to do what needs to be done. And the people who are really affected by what we thought was, why are you doing that? It's really needed. It's really necessary.
And that's something. So do you recite poetry today?
Well, I don't recite poetry as much as I do speaking
scripture.
And scripture. Right. You hit the nail on the head.
I bet you can make the Bible come to life.
I will give you the word and let you know that, as the scripture says, the word, it gives light. The word of the Lord gives light. And when you think of what scriptures say, they say it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Can you imagine what a lamp and what a light, what they do, how they direct your steps? Oh, my gracious. Using those tools of lamps and lights, you'll know exactly where you need to go, and you get enough light for the area that you need to cover.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's
mm-hmm.
really important, because if we see a light going too far down the road, we may miss what's directly in front of us. And those things
oh
that are directly
God,
in front of us are very, very important to get us to where our divine destination is.
You know what that reminds me of? In fact, I was talking about this a little bit with my guest last week. A lot of times we're in the midst of maybe caregiving, so taking care of a child, taking care of a parent or something like that. It can be easy to think, oh, no, I'm not fulfilling my purpose. Oh, yes,
mm-hmm.
you are.
Yes, you are.
So that is the light that you have right now, girl, so you do that.
Yes.
So true.
Absolutely.
So true.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely. Yes, I believe in it.
Okay. So I know from reading a little bit about you and let's tell people, like, talk about Achi. Tell people how we know each other, and then I'll ask you another question.
Yeah, well, I met you when we were, and I've got to laugh because I pulled it up because I knew when you talked earlier about your bank code, what's your bank code? You are the bank code queen. And I remember being in an Achi presentation and we had to find out what our bank code was. And I'm saying, what do you mean? I'm supposed to tell these people my bank code so they can go to my bank and get my money? No, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But then we realized that's not your bank code. No, your bank code talks about who you are as a personality. What is your personality type? And I did my bank code. And
yes.
I am happy to let you know, I am an NKAB. Don't you guys want to know what an NKAB is? Yes, you do.
oh, my God, great. You're giving a commercial for me. I wasn't even knowing you were going to do that. Go for
yes,
it. Keep going.
This is how I remember really meeting you, because you talked about the bank code and how important it was for us to know who we are and know
mm-hmm.
who we're dealing with, because you have the better conversation, you get further, and you're able to go deeper because you're talking their language and you're pulling out the things that are most important to them. If you want to get to know somebody, you ask them questions that you know they're going to get excited about. And if you're knowing what their bank code looks like, whether they're the nurturer like me, or whether they're the knowledge-based person, whether they're the action-based person, or whether they're a blueprint person, whatever is their main personality type, that's where you start it. You know?
Girl,
like for
me. I am hiring you. And you also, if you were on that call, then, I mean, that webinar, then you also met my daughter, Jana Beeson.
Sure
she
did.
Was the one. Yeah, Jana was the one who was talking about how to apply the bank code to relationships. So,
absolutely.
I
gleaned from that particular webinar because it reminded me that that's how I engage with people, because as the NKAB, the N is the nurturer. That's who I am. I don't like fake stuff. I just like you to tell me who you are, and I like to have. Yes, I like to have deep conversations. Like, you know, I like those one-on-ones where you go deep and people tell me. You know, this is what I'm the person on the airplane that people will tell me their deepest darkest secret. Because I just look like the kind of person that they can tell it to, and they know they will never hear it again.
I love it. I love it. Well, when you were talking about, I mean, I already knew your bank code, so I had a heads
right.
up.
Yeah,
however,
you knew that.
when you were talking about how as a child you loved reading and
mm-hmm.
poetry and all of that, I'm thinking, yeah, because knowledge is your second code. So the primary nurturing, that's how we lead mostly. But the
mm-hmm.
second one being knowledge for you, that definitely explains your love of learning, just continually. And you've mentioned learning several times, not just as a child, but already in this conversation. So
yes.
great attributes for a pastor. Great acronym.
Absolutely.
Well, cool.
That's right.
Well, thank you for that. Okay, I'll pay you later.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
here's the second question for you. So we've all experienced challenges. Oh, my goodness. Do you have one that stands out that you would like, you know, some kind of adversity that you would like? You already told me that your life is an open book, that you would like to speak about so that it may encourage other people who perhaps are going through something similar.
Well, you know, I want to really talk to those who may have experienced some type of hurt or type of rejection. Mm. I think that that's one of the things, like in a relationship where you thought, and this is not always and not just tied to a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. It could be a girlfriend-girlfriend relationship where you thought mm-hmm. you were closer to this person and mm-hmm. they dissed you, or they rejected you, or they said, you know what, we don't have that kind of friendship. We don't have that kind of relationship. And they all of a sudden, you remember that, I think it's a some program, they call it ghost, that they just disappear as though they were never a part of your life.
Whoa.
And you feel like, wow, what did I do? What did I do to deserve that? And you want to know why. And I remember when I was growing up, when my parents divorced and my father, he stepped away from the marriage and he said, I don't want to be married anymore. And I'm like, wait a minute, but you're a pastor. You're a preacher. Can't you pray about it? Aren't there scriptures in the Bible that tell you what you're supposed to do? And I'm now 15 years old, and I've got to realize that, okay, if God is for real, how come it didn't work for them? You know, they were married 23 years. Why didn't it work for them? And then I was thinking, well, maybe there was something I did.
Uh-oh.
And I think that all of us get into that thing where we think that there's something we did that caused that person to walk away from our lives. And one thing I want to encourage us all to know, that it takes two people to have a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if one of those people decides to walk away for whatever reason, it is not necessarily because of something that you did or did not do.
Mm-hmm.
There are issues that each of us have to face ourselves, and we've got to stand up and be assured that I am enough, and that if people are walking away from me, I need to look at it from the standpoint of this. If they step away, they are making room for the right people to be in my life. And sometimes when there are people in our lives that are not the right people, we are not acting to our fullest potential, because sometimes people want to keep us in a stranglehold and want to keep us held back. But if we have the right people in our circle, those are the ones that are going to stand by us, tell us the truth, but push us forward and not allow us to remain stagnant. So when you begin to look at the people in the relationships that it may have felt like they were rejecting you, but if you flip it on its head, take a look on the inside and say, then who is supposed to be in my life that is going to help move me forward?
So 15-year-old Darlene, I'm sure this is a message you would have liked to have given her.
my gracious, yes.
How did you handle it? Did you have somebody in whom you could confide?
That is what happened. At the beginning, I really was, I was a mess. Let me just be honest. When my father stepped away and said he doesn't want to be married to mom anymore, I was closer to my dad than I was my mom. And if you notice, one of the books that I wrote was called When Dark Chocolate is Bittersweet, Controversy Within a Culture. For those of you who see my face, I am a dark chocolate young lady, and I look more like my dad than I did my mom. And so I was closer to my dad. We had more conversations. And when he left and it was me and my mom, what is it, that song? You always hurt the ones you love. I bumped heads with my mother who loved me so much, but because I wasn't close to her at that time, we didn't have that interaction. I really wreaked havoc in our family structure. Mm-hmm. But what happened was I went to a conference, and this conference was called Basic Youth Conflicts Conference. And it's
Oh, I've heard of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Who put that on? That wasn't who did this?
This is such a long time ago.
Yeah.
Oh, Gothard.
I was gonna say, was that Gothard? Yes.
Bill
Gothard.
It was.
Yeah.
Yes. And I went to this conference, and this conference actually changed my life. Mm-hmm. When I went there and I found out who I really am and how important I am to God and that I have purpose, that I am not a mistake, that I am important and needed and necessary, and that I needed to be obedient to my parents, that they were really looking out for my best interest. I remember calling my mom on the phone, and that this is when the ugly cry, you know, snot all over the place. And you, Yes. And from that point on, my mother actually became my best friend, where I was able to then turn to that person and receive what was needed. And she became my best cheerleader, my best friend. It was because of her that I began writing books in the first place.
Isn't that something? So what would you say to 15-year-old Darlene now?
I would tell her, talk to your mom. She understands more than you think because she's been where you are. Oh, yeah. I would tell her, have conversations with mom. Don't give her grief because she's hurting just like you're hurting. I would tell her, love on your mom. Confide in your mom and tell her that you're hurting too. And I would tell her, and love again. I would remind her to love herself.
Yeah.
Because even at 15, Darlene did not love herself. Not like she should have. No. Not like she should have.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's that and then the whole body image thing, and I think it's gotten harder on kids now with social media, actually, to have to look perfect, be perfect, have this perfect image all over Instagram and everywhere else. I'm glad I live, you know, I'm glad I was born in 1953. I mean, seriously, that was a good era.
You know, I will say this, that no matter when we're born, I can tell you, we all have to overcome something. There's something that we wanted, that our friends had, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's,
you know,
Darlene,
I have to tell you, I was in high school when Twiggy was popular. Deal with Twiggy?
Yes. See, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. There's always something that somebody else has that you think you want. Oh, my gracious.
Let's just say I don't have a Twiggy body. Never have, never will. So anyway,
no,
of course, she doesn't
even have...
now, but...
Right.
All right, so... Title of this, because I don't want to get to the end of the show and we've talked about everything except the title. The title of this show is You Are a Designer's Original, Walk in Your Truth. So tell us about what that means.
Well, when I say you're a designer's original, just as I said before, we have a distinguishing name acronym or acrostic that we need to know that we are individually created by God, that there is a specific thing that he designed us to do, that we are not a carbon copy of someone else. If we looked at our finger and looked at our index finger and we would see those little circles, when you look on the surface and you see somebody else's finger, those circles look alike. They look the same. Everybody has little oval circles on their fingers. We all, but if you were to rob a bank and there was a fingerprint in that bank, they would only be looking for the fingerprint that matched you or
isn't
the
that
person
amazing?
That made that was the thief in the bank. They're only looking for one. There is only one person in this world that is you. Even if you are a twin, there are still those idiosyncrasies that set you apart and cause you to be an individual. It is important.
I want to tell you something funny. Sorry.
Go ahead.
So, you know Jana, and Jana is a twin. So they look so much alike when they were young. It turns out they're fraternal. But in the very beginning, I still wanted to know, even if they were fraternal, it was hard to tell them apart. So their ears were what helped, because the little folds of ears were different. Everybody has different ears, too. We think about the fingerprints, and I couldn't tell the fingerprints, but I could tell the ears. Isn't that fascinating?
That is very fascinating. See, now that's what sets us apart. That's what causes us to realize that there's nobody else in this world like us. No one else looks like us. No one else acts like we do. We are a designer's original. God made us with purpose, on purpose. That there is one thing on this earth, or two, or maybe even three, that we were created to do, and that no one else in this world can do it, not the way you do. When you think about growing, you know people that grow up in households, in the same household, and they are extremely different.
Oh, yeah. My three daughters are very different.
Isn't that interesting that even though you
even
were brought
twins.
Up brought up in the same household and you are so different. I want to encourage you to know that you've got to do five things, and I'm going to go through these really quickly, in order to really live your life authentically. It's important that, number one, you walk in your own truth and not somebody else's truth. The truth of who you've been created to be. God did not allow you to be born, and then he says, what do I do with her now that she's here?
Yeah.
Before we were in our mother's womb, he knew us. Just like he told Jeremiah, before Jeremiah was even born, he knew that he was necessary to be a prophet to the nations before he was even born. So before we were born, there was something that God wanted us to do. So we have to walk in our truth and not somebody else's. Number two, living authentically is not always easy, but it's definitely rewarding. The rewards are you walk in freedom, you walk in love, you walk in your authenticity, and you're able to believe for the impossible because you're living authentically. You're living who you're designed and created to be, and you're not deviating from that path. You're staying focused. Remember I talked about the lamp and the light? You're not missing the little pebbles of truth along the way. Number three, we talked about earlier, you're a designer's original, and no one, I love this, no one can fit your clothes. You are your own DNA fashion line. Yes.
Clever.
You're your own DNA fashion line. You create who you are going to be. And that's why that acronym of your name is so important.
Yeah.
If you think about what your name means, when you put those other adjectives to describe yourself, I say that I'm daring. I say that I'm articulate because I speak well and I can get across a point to you where you'll understand, you'll receive it, and you'll be able to be empowered by it. I'm radiant because I just believe that the love of Jesus shines through me, and then on and on and on. Number four. And I said this before, but I have to tell you again, God made you with his purpose for you in mind. So we're supposed to ask him what we're supposed to do to fulfill our purpose. Let's think about it. When you have a car that needs to be serviced, do you take it to your neighbor down the street, or do you take it to the car manufacturer? If I have an Audi, am I going to take my car to Chevy?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm going to take it to the person who designed it because they know how to repair it. If what our purpose is, we want to go to the one who created us. Our sisters and brothers cannot always tell us what our purpose is.
Yeah.
They can help us as we're fulfilling it. But if we want to understand what God has as our assignment to do, ask our divine manufacturer. And number five.
Well, I can't help but think about Job's friends. Friends can sort of not be the best either. Right?
Job's friends,
you know?
Woo, I tell you, they were something else. Better to go straight to God. And the thing is, even when you go to God and you tell God you don't understand and you don't get it, that is okay because he knows it anyway that you don't get it. He knows it anyway that you don't understand. And that's why he's glad that you come to him, because when you're coming to him, you're saying, Lord, I need you. And he's saying, thanks, I know you do. And here's what I have for you. And he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Mm-hmm.
And then number five, I know you guys have been talking about this and probably waiting for this the entire show where I said the RAS in full effect. The RAS is called the reticular activating system. And the reticular activating system, it's located in the base of your brain. You can look it up. It's located in the base of your brain, and it acts as a valve that will bring to fruition whatever you say. If you tell yourself, I can't do it, if you tell yourself, I'm not able, if you tell yourself, I'm not smart, If you tell yourself, I don't know why I think I can do stuff like, when you say those things, the reticular activating system goes out to prove you right.
All right, Darlene, here we go. As a man thinketh, so is he. There you go.
There we go. As a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes.
Mm-hmm.
The things you think about are the things that you bring about.
Yeah.
If you think that you are able, if you are, remember that little engine that could? I think I can.
I think I can. Yes.
And all of us should be that little engine that could, that continues to say, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can, until you say, I know I can, I know I can,
right.
I know I can, until you say, I knew I could.
Great example, darling. Fantastic. Boom.
Absolutely. So we want to put those things in effect. We want to be thinking about what we're thinking about. What's on our minds? What are the things that we think about the most? I think about also my good friend. I haven't met him yet, but he's my friend in my mind, Tony Robbins. That's my friend in my mind. He decided that he wanted to learn about race car driving. And so he wanted to get some lessons. So he hired a you go to the place and you get lessons, and he's in the car, and they're showing him all the equipment and everything, and he's driving down the stretch, and the guy is telling him how to make the turn around the curve. And one of the things that the instructor told him is that every time you go around the curve, never look at the curve. And Tony Robbins didn't understand it for a second. And The man explained to him this. He said, you always want to look to where you want to go.
Yeah.
And if you want to go around the curve, you go around the curve. Because if you look at the wall trying to avoid it, you'll go right toward it every time.
Yeah. Well, that's just like driving down the road. If you look at the oncoming car, you'll head toward it.
Exactly. Exactly. So we want to be careful about where we are focusing, what we're focusing on, because the things that we focus on are the things that we will be gravitating towards. So whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, any praise, think on these things.
Amen and amen. Well, what did you think of, I'm sure you heard me quote the one and only Dr. Miles Monroe with success is obedience to purpose. How do you like
absolutely.
That definition of success? Isn't that great?
That is absolutely phenomenal, because I have to tell you, Miles Monroe is one of my favorite writers, speakers.
Me too.
Oh my goodness, because he talks about purpose. And
when
you talk about this, I want to give you another quote of his that really blesses me. He says,
okay,
two things he says, and the one thing is, vision is the energy of progress. And then he says, your future, he's just so full of wisdom. He says, your future is not ahead of you. It lies within you.
Within you? Oh, wow.
And
that's
your vision
cool.
determines your destiny. And the one thing that Miles Monroe taught me was this, is that we never see any vision and we never see any purpose in words. We always see a vision in purpose, in picture form. We never see that we are a successful speaker with the words that say successful speaker. We see ourselves standing on a stage, bright lights, a camera. We're wearing our best clothes. We just got makeup done, got a new hairstyle. That's how we see ourselves. We don't see ourselves in words. We see ourselves in picture form.
That's cool. And without vision,
the people perish. So we are not going to perish.
Hey, you and I need to go on the road. We can finish each other's sentences.
absolutely. This is blessing me.
Aw. Well, that's awesome. Well, it seems to me that one of your spiritual gifts is clearly, I mean, I would say encouragement and compassion, right? And of course, your primary code being nurturing, that doesn't surprise me. But would you agree? I mean, you just, I could tell that you get energized by encouraging other people. Yeah,
I do. I think it's important that people be encouraged, because there's so many negative things going on and people have lost hope. And they don't think that there's anything that they have to offer. They don't think their lives matter. They don't think that their gifts matter. They think other people are doing it. And if other people are doing it, why should I be doing it too? And I keep reminding myself
of it better, right?
Yeah, well, this is what I remind myself of. And I share it every time I get an opportunity. When I go in the grocery store, and I look at the different types of lotions, when I look at the different types of fruit juices, when I look at the different types of bread, every aisle you can find a company that makes bread, lotions, fruit, you name it. Do any of them say, I'm not going to market my product because someone else has already done it? No.
Well,
they do it
and
they
not only
someone.
That, many say they're the world's best. That's what cracked me up. I can't tell you the number of places I've gone to in Maryland that say they have the world's best crab cakes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They have the world's best crab cakes. Yes. So I've got to believe that we are the world's best, whoever we are.
Aww, that's cool.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Like I say to my daughters, because of course, you know, with twins, they have to be fighting over, you know, who does mom love more, right? You know, so all of my daughters, it's like, you're my favorite Rebecca. You're my favorite Jana. You're my favorite Brett, you know, so they're my favorite.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. You are my favorite. I tell my son, he's my favorite son. I tell my daughter, she's my favorite daughter. I have one of each.
Yes. Perfect. 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 All right.
Come here. Get up.
Uh-huh.
Oh, sorry. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. There
yeah.
it is. I thought I went away. Okay. I'm
no.
here. Okay.
You are good. You did
You're
not
good.
Go away, girl.
You're good.
So you're a pastor, you're a mom, a friend, a theologian, I mean, all kinds of things. And you're a businesswoman, right? So what encouragement do you have for people in business, especially during this challenging period that we're going through?
You know what? Now is the time.
Amen.
If you were ever going to do anything, now is the time to do it, especially if you have, and it's going to sound so crass and so harsh and whatever, especially if you've been called home. I want you to be sitting and listening to the voice of Holy Spirit giving you direction. What do I need to do now? Because there's something in your hands. There is something in your hands that you should be doing. That, like I said before, no one else can do it like you do it. And it's going to be important for you to be seeking that. What is that thing that you can do that no one else can do? For the business, I have been more busy now, and not busy, let me take that word back. I've been more productive now than I have been before, because I'm recognizing that there are so many people who need what I have. They need to be motivated to move. They need to be encouraged. And they are willing, this is the thing, they are willing to make that investment because they are now understanding that they are worth it.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
that's key. Really key. Mm-hmm. When you realize that you are worth it, that's what makes a difference. That's what makes a difference. And I would tell any person that is trying to decide what they're going to do that they need to really sit and have a conversation with Holy Spirit. Have a conversation. Spend time meditating. Meditate on and dreaming. That is important because as both of us kind of said, without a vision, people perish. You've got to create vision. You've got to be able to see it. And you've got to see it before you see it. You have to see it before you see it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
We've got to
be able to see it. Some people can discern their purpose through dreams. It's really cool. And it doesn't work for everybody. It's actually a pretty small percentage of people who can ask for a purpose defining dream and learn their purpose through their dreams, just based on some research that was done. But for those who can discern their purpose that way, it is incredible. I mean, the pictures that come in dreams are so spot on. And, you know, I have really interesting dreams, but I don't think that's how I found my purpose. But for a lot of people that I've coached, it works.
Well, you know, you've daydreamed. You might not have been sleeping, but you daydream. And
You know, I daydream.
Where someone has to say, "Hey, Jory, oh," and then shake you back to reality because you were somewhere on a beach.
There you go.
You were somewhere
That's my
away.
Purpose right there. On a beach.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You dream. We all dream, whether it be in at night or in the day. Well, we do dream and we do see ourselves in a place or doing something that is fulfilling. And I think that that's really key to moving. Once you're able to see it, then we say, okay, oh, I can see it. So yeah, I can do it. And you begin to write it out. And when you begin to, again, everything seems to be right in the scripture. It says, write the vision and make it plain. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so he becomes. And the writing of that vision, making it known, making it clear, it gives feet to it. And then you begin to walk it out. And when you move, it's not enough just to write it down, but then when you share it with someone, they hold you, that big A word, accountable. Then you realize you're not doing it by yourself, that there's someone with you that's going to hold you accountable. How's it going? What are you doing? Did you call these people? Did you reach out to this person? Did you do this? You've got those that are holding you accountable for moving forward. So there's so many things that go into from just the thought to bringing that thought into reality.
That RAS thing. That's
RAS.
So cool.
It works.
Well, share with our listeners what your services are and how people can reach you to find out more.
Well, as a Sage Christian Vision Coach, I help women to uncover their treasures and to realize what they've been given so that they can use what they have to impact the lives of those they've been called to. I am, you can find me at Heart After the Father. That's the name of my company, at heartafterthefather.com. And you can hire me to help you.
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, you know, that's what it is.
That's
make
what it
the
is.
Investment, make the investment in you so you can uncover those hidden treasures and really be who God's called you to be. As an author and speaker, I also, as I've shared earlier, that I speak at conferences, I speak at different women's meetings, and I encourage women to do what they've been called to do. So you can also, and also as the author, you can purchase my books there on that website. And a lot of my books have been used as Bible studies. Because it's not just a book to read and say, oh, I've read the book, okay, and you can put it on the shelf. But these books actually have assignments in them because I expect you to not just read it, but to be changed by it. When I wrote the book, The Goliath Within, you have assignments. Like the question is, what do you choose to focus on to change the environment in which you live? That's a question. What do you need to do to change the environment in which you live? Also in this book, there are faith confessions that you are required to make every day. Why? Because what we speak out of our mouths is what we can bring to fruition. That's why I believe affirmations and making those confessions on a daily basis is so important and critical to our lives. The other way you can get in contact with me, you can reach me via Instagram. I'm always on Instagram.
Are you?
Yes, you'll
Look
find me on Instagram
at
Lady Darlene LT. And you will find me on Twitter as Lady Darlene LT. And you will find me on Facebook at Darlene Thorne MDiv. And something else that I didn't share, and this is something that is fairly new, but I really like it, and I wish this wasn't radio so I could tell you and show you. I am a Color Street stylist. So those of you who like to make your nails look pretty.
Yes.
So you can also get your nails looking absolutely gorgeous by going to bit.ly/ladydyesnails. And you can get your beautiful Color Street. They are nail strips that in between now and being able to go back out to your nail stylist, you can still have your nails looking beautiful.
That's cool. All right, so this some people haven't heard of Bitly. So it's bit.ly, right?
Yes.
So Bitly, and then say the rest of it.
bit.ly/LadyDiesNails.
Lady Dyes Nails.
Yes.
I love it. You know, we got to look good.
Yes, all the time. All the time.
That is fantastic. All right. So, wow, we have covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that is on your heart, anything else that's on your heart to share with our listeners before we draw to a close? Although I hope you come back because this has been delightful.
Oh, man. I just want to encourage all who listen to know that they are important, they are necessary, they are needed, and that they have been put on this earth on purpose with a purpose. And that I encourage them to fulfill that purpose and know that there's somebody that needs them. Every time I end my broadcast, I say, do your best, be your best, and impact someone's life today. Why?
Nice.
Because someone, yes, someone needs you. And that's what I'd like to leave with those who are listening today.
That's great. Yeah, you know, it's so easy for us to get caught up. I mean, self-care is important. We've talked about that. Having our nails look good, that's important. And sometimes, though, we can get so turned inward that we forget about helping outward, right? And I really think, here we could have a whole other broadcast, that the key to happiness is the outward part of it, right? That not to focus on ourselves so much, you know, so much navel gazing and care to what we look like, that we don't think about the other. I think the more other-focused we are, the happier we'll be. What do you think?
I believe that is true. I remember someone told me, if you're feeling bad, the best thing for you to do is to share your testimony.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
And remember what God has done for you, right?
Remember what God has done for you. I think about David when he was in the cave, when his own army buddy said, you know what, we're going to take you out because all of our family has been stolen from our city. And this is the thing, David's family was taken too.
Yeah.
But David went away and he began to encourage himself in the Lord. And I believe that if we do that, begin to encourage ourselves and know,
remember
the good things. If you were to write down all the good things that happened in your life and make a list, there's a song, an old song that says, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Then it says, count your many blessings, see what God has done. Because if we're thinking about it, every year has 365 days in it. Multiply that by how old you are.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, that's a lot of zeros, but all right.
Yeah, well, we don't talk about that. But the fact is, if we multiply how many days in the year by our, and then count the leap years in between, and
yeah.
if you just wrote one thing that was good about that day.
Wow. How many blessings we'd have. Yeah.
How many
right.
blessings oh. would we have? Yeah.
You are good, darling. This is awesome.
Thank
this is awesome.
You.
All kinds of nuggets.
Yes.
Well, thank you. And I do hope that you'll come back again. This has just been absolutely delightful. And I know we've just scratched the surface.
I know. I would love to return. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to thank everybody now for listening to Heart and Soul for Women of Faith. And of course, thanking you again, Darlene, for being my honored guest. And
thank
a big
you.
Thank you to my friend, David Nephew. I just absolutely love his music. Hopefully you all can start hearing that. He is a wonderful Christian composer and pianist and just a really, really good person. I consider him a dear friend.
Wonderful.
So again, everybody, please go to joryfisher.com for tons of free resources and go to crackmycode.com/report if you want to get that free personality report and know your bank code, as Darlene and I were talking about. So everyone, may the Lord bless us, keep us, and be gracious unto us. And may the Lord help us to be obedient to our purpose and achieve divine success. Bye-bye, everybody. God bless you.
Bye.